This is Scripture on Creation with Dr. Ben Scripture, discussing creation, science, and the Bible. With a Master of Divinity, a PhD in biochemistry, and over 25 years of experience studying and teaching creation, he is well equipped to address questions about creation with sound, biblical, and scientific answers. The Scripture on Creation radio program is also available on our website and as a free podcast, so you can listen anytime. If you have a question for Dr. Scripture, or if you would like to know more about his radio and conference ministry, contact information follows the program. And now, here is Scripture on Creation.
Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, in a previous program, we discussed why such a large number in the scientific community don't embrace God's Word, especially on the subject of origins.
Uh-huh.
And we looked at a passage in 1 Corinthians that suggests that the reason has to do with the conflict between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. So in today's program, now you want to say more about the wisdom of God.
That's right. We're going to consider this passage that we looked at before. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and starting at verse 18, Paul is speaking of how ultimately the big issue of life is what we do with Christ, not what we do about origins. But the problem is still the same. It's this conflict of the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. But let's read what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18 first, because he is talking about the cross, the ultimate issue. It says, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" And when I read those two verses especially, verses 19 and 20, you know, that really jumps out at me. You know, it could be just talking about a person who believes in evolution, you know, someone who would debate the evidences, this, that, and the other thing against the foolishness of believing that God would just speak and there would be light and God would say, let the earth bring forth, you know, and that things would happen. And yet the word of God here, as it's described, is the wisdom of God. And God did it this way. And frankly, in all of our wisdom, not only do we not come up with explanations that are truthful in how it happened, but we don't come up with explanations that can describe how molecules could get together and how natural selection could work. But we don't even come up with the right order of things. We don't even come up with just the simple basic understanding of
and
how
it changes
these
a lot too.
And it does keep changing, Scott. So verse 20, again, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? You know, and a lot of times when we think about some of the evolutionary explanations, this verse, I think, really does describe the wisdom of the wise and how foolish it can be. Verse 21 goes on to then say, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." So ultimately, you know, the wisdom of man does not come to know God. The wisdom of man does not come up with salvation as God has made it available to us through faith in the work of Christ. But today I also want to consider this wisdom of God as it's described in creation, as it's essentially displayed in creation. Mm. And when we want to talk about the wisdom of God, what would you suggest be a great book to consider the wisdom of God and a lot about the wisdom of God?
Well, that word wisdom makes me think of Proverbs.
Yeah, Proverbs. Proverbs has so many marvelous passages in it dealing with creation. But in the early portion of the book of Proverbs, actually Proverbs chapter 8, we see a very, very a specific reference to wisdom and how God used his wisdom to create the heavens and the earth. Let's turn over now to Proverbs chapter 8. And first of all, we'll consider how wisdom is basically personified in the book of Proverbs. So starting at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1, look what it says. "Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice?" Down to verse 4. "To you, O men, I call," speaking of wisdom, "and my voice is to the sons of men." Look at verse 7. "For my mouth will utter truth." This is wisdom talking. It's sort of interesting the way these passages are written. In verse 12, it says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion." Here, wisdom is talking, and that sets the context then for when we come to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. And wisdom is talking about its presence, her presence, really. Isn't that interesting that it's a woman? I'm not sure about that, but...
if you said wise guy, it just doesn't mean the same thing.
You know, wise guy has a negative connotation, yes, doesn't it? And a wise woman here has a good connotation. So anyway, wisdom is speaking. And in verse 22, the very specific revelation of God's wisdom in creation is revealed. So let's read. I'll read this whole section, and then we're going to deal bit by bit with some of the specifics that are given here. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When the springs of the deep became fixed. When he set for the sea its boundary, so that the water should not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men.
Now, I'm hearing some of the terminology in this passage, and it sounds familiar. It sounds similar to passages that we've dealt with in other parts of the Bible.
Yeah, it certainly has. The book of Psalms, several of the passages in Psalms, and we'll turn to some of those later in the program, are very, very similar. And in the book of Job, we've got some of the terminology here in Proverbs, yes, that I would suggest come right out of the book of Job.
That was the book I was thinking of.
Yeah, and I say that because, you know, the book of Job is probably some of the first written words of God that we have. Of course, the book of Job is wisdom literature as well. So we're going to turn to the book of Job, and we're going to turn to one of the Psalms at least later in the program, but let's consider some of the specifics here that wisdom is referring to, as we read here in Proverbs 8, starting at verse 22. It says that the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. That's sort of interesting, the beginning of his way. I think we might consider this to be in the beginning of his work there in creation. Of course, he existed before he started creating the heavens and the earth. And so there at the very beginning, as he began his work, of course, he possessed wisdom. He had this wisdom in order to establish what he made. And then in verse 23, from everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. And so here we have this revelation that God's wisdom was what was used, we might say, to establish this universe, this material universe, so that it would work the way it does.
He didn't need to acquire an education first. He's always had this wisdom.
You know, he didn't need to Google it. You know, it's interesting. We were considering the other day how powerful Google is, and in a discussion I had with some men in our church. And, you know, then we got to thinking, you know, as powerful as Google is, God doesn't have to have something published. God doesn't have to have something go out on the internet to then sort of get it in his database. Mm-hmm. He knows everything. He knows even the unpublished thoughts of our hearts and minds. And so here, God's wisdom is profound. And because of his wisdom, when he put all of this universe together, everything works perfectly. We take so much for granted. The plus and minus charges of chemistry, the units of energy that are involved in the speed of light or gravity, these things all have to be perfect. Otherwise, the universe, we understand, wouldn't work the way it works. Well, this is the kind of wisdom of God that he put together, that evolution, you know, simply cannot explain the origin of these things any more than it can explain how we get chimpanzees and roses and porpoises from a single cell. It's imagination that tries to come up with explanations for how this has occurred. Wisdom goes on to talk about some of the specifics then. It says in verse 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. And it's interesting there in that first chapter of Genesis, it talks about the deep and how the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep. So wisdom is speaking of how it was there before these initial acts of creation, way, way back there in Genesis chapter 1. It goes on to say, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth. And I love this little line, nor the first dust of the world. That term there, dust, is the specific word that's used when it says, and man was brought forth from the dust of the ground. Verse 27, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. And that inscribing a circle, Scott, I think is what brought you, your mind back to a previous passage there in the book of Job.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't we look there in Job chapter 26. Notice what it says about that circle. Job chapter 26 and verse 7 says, he stretches out the north over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps up the waters in his clouds. Down in verse 10, he then says, he has inscribed a circle on the surface of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness.
And there's that word boundary too.
Boundary, yeah. That's also mentioned here in the book of Proverbs. So we've got this marvelous description of what God is doing. And this wisdom that's described in Proverbs is what God used to create the heavens and earth and to establish the earth. So back in Proverbs 8, moving over to verse 28, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed. You know, I'd suggest there what wisdom is speaking of is the second day of creation, where whatever that earth looked like with the deep there on day one, God establishes the atmosphere and he sort of establishes the ocean as something that is now fixed, not maybe a gaseous planet or whatever that earth may have looked like on that first day. So he fixed the deep. Verse 29, when he set for the sea its boundary so that the water should not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. There, I think, would be another reference to day three, where God brought the land up out of the ocean. And what is the boundary of the ocean today? The boundary of the ocean are the shores, right? Where the land actually is. And of course, we can't stop the water, but the land certainly does. We can't stop the water in a tsunami. We can't stop the waters in a hurricane. But God does simply by putting the land there. So this marvelous passage that speaks of God's wisdom and how he established the heavens and the earth is something that man can imagine. Man can come up with expressions about how to try to explain how it could happen all by itself. But of course, it didn't really happen by itself. It required the wisdom of God for these things to be established. But I don't want to just finish today's program with the idea of God's wisdom being expressed in creation, because God always has a lesson for us to learn, and that is the ultimate purpose of wisdom, to live according to God's commands and live according to God's ways. And so at the end of Proverbs 8 and its discussion of creation, look what it goes on to say in verse 32. God had said previous that he had his delight in the sons of men. Well, how does he delight in man, especially when man so often disappoints God? Well, in verse 32, it goes on to say, now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And that's not what I say, that's what Scripture says.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the program. If you have comments or questions you'd like Dr. Scripture to address, you can contact him by sending an email to scripture@scriptureoncreation.org or call 574-551-1524. Scripture on Creation is a listener-supported ministry. Your support through prayer and giving is greatly appreciated. You can learn more about our ministry on the website, scriptureoncreation.org. You can also listen to past episodes of the program, which are archived on the website, or by subscribing to the free podcast.